Danny Mac Show with BK Podcast, powered by I Promise. Now, here's Danny Mac with BK.
Oh, 2 pitch and a strikeout. Oviedo gets out of the jam. First pitch swinging and a fly ball. Right center, who wants it? It'll be Dylan Carlson with the catch. Takes charge and makes the play. Johan Oviedo. No runs allowed through six.
Molina pulls it fair. Down into the left field corner. Goldschmidt will score. Back-to-back games. The Cardinals walk it off. It's a sweep of the Marlins. Yachty does it.
All it took was one and some really good pitching along the way. Welcome into the Danny Mac Show on a Thursday. That is Brandon Kiley, BK. I'm Danny Mac. Dan McLaughlin. That's Tanner Hendrickson. And, you know, sometimes good pitching and timely hitting, it actually works out. And that's what the Cardinals got yesterday. And BK, you guys were at the ballpark having a little fun down there too, weren't you?
We had a great time, man. It was so good to meet so many of our listeners. And Dan, you know what's funny? I look at the text line every day, and 99% of it is something to the degree of, we hate everything that you guys say on the air. And then you meet these people in person, and they're the most wonderful humans, and I don't understand what happens on our text line. But in all seriousness, it was great to be out there. It was an awesome day to be out at Ballpark Village, and we got to watch what was a tremendous baseball game for the Cardinals, a quick baseball game, which I know everybody enjoys watching, and Johan Oviedo looking like he might be turning a little bit of a corner here. Throwing strikes, looking like the pitcher that we all kind of hoped we would see out of him this year. This has been really, really nice to watch over the last three or so starts for him.
87 pitches, 63 strikes, so 72% strikes. As you mentioned, that is such a key for him and for any pitcher. And a lot of first pitch strikes, too. So he was pitching ahead in the count. I noticed there was a tick or two down in velocity. Not that he didn't have it, but maybe he's saying, hey, I got to get away from just being this max effort thrower, and I have to locate. Voila. All of a sudden, things happen. He's throwing strikes, and that's what you got. So he gave the Cardinals 7 innings, 6 hits, no runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts, and looked outstanding yesterday. Now, we talked about it during our show yesterday going into the day game. What are the Cardinals going to do when Oviedo gets out of the game? Who's going to step up? The other three, the big three, Reyes, Gallegos, Cabrera, you know, they had pitched 2 days in a row. Mike Shildt hasn't gone to them in 3 days in a row all year. Wasn't going to happen yesterday. Someone else has to step up. And you had Andrew Miller and you had Ryan Helsley. And you got to win. I'm going to do the numbers today. I'll do it as a teaser for the game on Bally Sports. But I'm going to do the numbers. How many times have the Cardinals won today where those three haven't pitched in the game or Jack Flaherty?
Wow. Yeah.
It's got to be just a handful, if that.
I mean, Alex Reyes, what's he at now? Like 17 for 17 in saving situation?
Yeah.
So that's at least half of your wins right there in just him throwing.
And so he's got 4 wins on top of that, too, I think. You know, Gallegos usually is setting up.
And Cabrera early on in the season. So the last month or so, it's been those three guys.
Yes.
It's been basically, I think it's almost all of their wins have been all three of them throwing in
exactly.
Those wins. The first month and a half or so, they kind of staggered them a little bit where it'd be Cabrera one day and then it'd be Gallegos and Reyes the next day.
Because you had Hicks.
Right. So you could kind of do the duos as opposed to the three back to back to back. So that's where things get really interesting. I don't know what it looked like at the beginning of the season. I'll be curious what those numbers are whenever you give them.
Yeah, I find that fascinating. So the Cardinals, without those guys, pick up a win. It was much needed. And Mike Shildt, back to Oviedo. What can we expect out of this guy going forward?
I don't want to put any more on him that needs to be put on him at a young part of his career, but I think we've already seen that transition take place of a guy that even last year's he's a better version of himself this year than he was last year. He's a better version of himself now than he was 3 starts ago. So my point, when you have those kind of weapons, you see that kind of evolution. You see a guy that is taking advantage of his experiences and growing from them. And he's also being smart enough to take proper guidance from other people that have wisdom that have done it.
And I think what he's referring to there, at least part of that, is Adam Wainwright, because I see Oviedo at the hip of Adam Wainwright all the time, and that was the case yesterday. I see Jack Flaherty and Waino all the time, if that guy is there with that amount of experience, that many years in the league, pick his brain. And he's willing to talk. I mean, he wants to talk. He wants to share his knowledge. So do it.
One of my favorite Johan Oviedo stories comes from Derek Gould, who last year during the summer camp 2.0 that the Cardinals were doing, they needed somebody that would be willing to take the rosin bags to and from the mound. And so the guy that signed up to do that, he volunteered himself, was Johan Oviedo. So he had to have all of the equipment that he was putting on. And the reason he wanted to do that, according to Derek Gould, is he wanted to be as close as he could to all those veteran guys, similar to Adam Wainwright, Mike Maddox, whoever it was that was out there at any given time, to be able to pick their brains. And it's just one glimpse into who Johan Oviedo is as a person that I think is very telling as to how he became this guy that so quickly came onto the map. And then, oh my goodness, he's not just a prospect. Last year got thrust into the action before he probably should have been. And this year, we're watching the development at the big league stage right in front of our very eyes, Dan. And it's been a pleasure to watch. Now, I will say this. I'm not trying to pee in anybody's Cheerios this morning. However,
it's the Marlins.
And it's not just the Marlins. It was the Marlins JV lineup yesterday. So we do have to keep that in the back of our mind. But the thing that I think is super encouraging about what we're watching from him is those strikes. That works against anybody. If you can just go out there and throw strikes consistently, I think this is an encouraging sign from him. However, the seven innings, zero earned runs, I'm not sure we're going to see those kinds of results. So we shouldn't be expecting that consistently out of him yet.
And that's fair. That's fair. And it's a sweep over a team that's really been struggling, especially on the road. You're talking specifically about their lineup. They did not have Aguilar, did not have Marte. So, yeah, and they've been dealing with some injuries. The Cardinals ran into Sandy Alcantara yesterday. He was awesome.
God, that guy's good.
He's really good. And on pitch number 100, he hit 100. You know, he's one of the best in baseball, and Oviedo kept you in the game. So that's the flip side of it, too. The lineup, it's not the 27 Yankees. I get it, but he kept you in the game, and your offense was able to scratch one run in. And that one base hit when you needed it comes from Yadier Molina, and it was a huge one for St. Louis.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going back-to-back walk-off, I mean, it's great to have those during the season. And we did it the last two games. Hopefully the momentum will keep going for Atlanta.
And the momentum is really with what happens with your starters. The Cardinals now have gotten four straight quality starts. Martinez, Wainwright, KK, Oviedo during that stretch, 26 innings, 17 hits, only three earned, 9 walks, 22 strikeouts. When we come on this show, there's a direct correlation when we're saying the team is winning or losing by what happens with starting pitching. It just, that's baseball, man. If you get good starting pitching, you have a chance to win. It's really that simple.
Especially with this team, and especially right now. They're just dealing with so many injuries, and to be able to overcome those, they need the staff to be able to hold up the innings. I saw this yesterday. This came from Ben Fredrickson. He posted this on Twitter. The Cardinals are now 17-7 this season when a starter goes at least 6 innings.
There you go.
That does not show you how many runs they're giving up. Like, it's just, get through 6. Basically, give me a quality start. And a quality start is 6 innings, 3 earned runs or fewer. So if you just go by the lowest threshold, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, that works out to be roughly a 4.5 ERA. Over the course of the season, for most starters, that would not be a great year. But for the Cardinals, if you can just do that consistently with this bullpen, you feel pretty good about your odds of being able to rack up the wins.
And here's why. There's a residual effect of the innings. The innings pile up when, when Martinez gave you a third of an inning at Dodger Stadium, it was like, oh, man, this is not good because you got to cover all those innings. And then 2 days later, KK gives you 3 and you got to cover now 6 more innings. That's tough. And guys get worn out. And so when you get starters that allow you to rest some guys, all of a sudden it just everything lays into plan and it gives you a shot to win. Not that you're right. Not that you're going to always win them. But it gives you a shot, and that's what they got. So right now the Cardinals are getting pretty good starting pitching for Mike Schilt.
You know, these guys are here for a reason, very capable. You know, give Carlos credit because he really went out there and gave us 7 really strong innings. And then we go from that to Waino, to KK, to now Ovi. And, you know, when we're pitching well and our starters are going deep, that's usually when, you know, we shake hands more times than not. And we were able to do that these last three games, and the starting pitch has been a pillar of that.
I got to get more out of John Gant tonight. Got to see it. Last two starts haven't been good enough. They're just not good enough to compete and win at this level. Now, he had been walking a tightrope.
Yep. Big regression time. Is a you-know-what.
Yeah, and it's come hard the last two games with all the walks and not being in the strike zone. So he goes against his former team tonight, and if he's in the strike zone, he is filthy. It's just the walks. And so I want to see better out of John Gant. Got to get it.
The other thing
that's
weird, over the last three starts, he's been a fly ball pitcher, not a ground ball pitcher, and that's not John Gant. John Gant, at his best, should be working towards the bottom of the zone, getting those ground balls that we've come to know and love out of him that ends up inducing the double plays, and that's how he's able to walk that tightrope so consistently. It just hasn't been happening for him the last three starts, really, since the start of this month.
Absolutely. So coming up, we're going to visit with Chip Carey, looking forward to that. He is the Braves broadcaster on television, and always fun to visit with our friend Chip Carey. That'll be next on 101 ESPN.
This is the Danny Mac Show with BK, the podcast powered by I Promise.
Coming up, we'll visit with the voice of the Braves, that is Chip Carey. The Cardinals pitchers this season, Waino 4-5, Martinez 3-7, Gant 4-4. How does he have a 3.3 ERA? Can you tell me that?
John Gant?
Yeah.
Because he's Harry Houdini 2.0. I can't
unbelievable.
Explain it. I can't explain it. The Cardinals, like, I've listened to John Mozeliak talk about it. We've talked about it with Michael Gersha, I think a few weeks ago now. They don't understand it. So when the Cardinals front office is telling you, yeah, we'd like to see him maybe cut down on the walks a little bit and the tightrope is not sustainable, that's when you know, okay, this is eventually going to come back on him.
Flaherty is 8-1, 2.9. KK is 1-4. I know in talking with Chip Carey, he loves watching KK. And he's going to see him this weekend. Then Oviedo 0-2, Ponce 1-1, and Michaelis obviously made the one start, no record. And Chip Carey is with us. Chip, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Danny Mac. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. That is Brandon Kiley. I'm Dan McLaughlin. Chip Carey, the voice of the Atlanta Braves, is with us, and longtime Major League Baseball voice, whether it be with the Cubs or now with the Atlanta Braves. And BK and I were talking about this, where the Cardinals and the Braves are kind of almost mirror images of each other, in which there are high expectations this season, but yet they haven't grabbed footing yet this season and getting things going completely in the right direction. Braves coming in, struggling in this series. Cardinals now, they won three in a row, but they, for the most part, have struggled. So kind of mirror images going into this this series down in Truist Park.
Yeah, that's a good point, Danny. You know, I think the Cardinals come in riding a hot streak. They beat a very good Marlins team who hasn't hit, but they can really pitch. You guys saw that with Alcantara. What a performance for him yesterday. But for us, you know, it's just been, if everything goes wrong, everything that could go wrong did go wrong for the Braves. With Marcell Ozuna, his situation, his injury, that's a huge blow. Christian Pache didn't hit. He was a rookie center fielder. Darno tore a thumb ligament. He's out for another 5 or 6 weeks. Freddie Freeman got off to a very slow start. Austin Riley got off to a slow start. They lost Max Fried to injury. Mike Soroka hasn't thrown a pitch in almost 2 years. So, you know, it's been just an absolute miasma of problems for the Braves. We're now 7.5 games behind the New York Mets. And I haven't even talked about the bullpen, which I know I'm not going to get any sympathy from Cardinal fans with bullpen issues, but for the Braves, it just, nothing has been able to get on track to this point. And, you know, we're what, 98 games left in the season. Everybody around town is kind of wondering what in the heck's going to happen and what in the heck went wrong.
Do you expect this to turn around for them, Chip? Because I know in St. Louis, like, as much as the season has gone awry, they are still technically above 500 right now. The Braves are in a tough division and they're 5 games under 500. Do you think they can get this turned around?
Well, we hope so. I think there are three teams in Major League Baseball that have not spent a single day above 500 this year, and the Braves are one of them. Think about that. This is a team that last year came within one game of going to the World Series, and they have been below 500 or at 500 every single day so far this season. For them to win 90 games, they'd have to win something like 50 of the remaining 98. The way they're constructed right now, I don't see that happening. Now, they're going to get healthy. They're going to get Darno back. They're going to, you know, maybe get Pache back up here at some point. They're going to get Waskar Ynoa, who is on track to have an all-star season, back after he broke his hand. He punched a dugout bench when he was frustrated in Milwaukee, which continues to amaze me that he would use his pitching hand to do that, but I digress. As things stand out, it's going to be very, very tough for them. Can they do it? Sure, they can. But they haven't had that, you know, win 7 out of 10, win 12 out of 15 stretch that most other teams have had by now, and that's got to be very concerning.
The MVP, Freddie Freeman, is hitting .242, 16 homers. He's driven in 39. But you look at the slug, .471, .829 OPS. It's okay, but it's not Freddie Freeman-like. Is it because of maybe Ozuna not being in the lineup behind him, or protection, or how he's being pitched? What do you see with Freeman this year?
I think it's a combination, Danny Mac, of a lot of different things. One, he doesn't have that protection, although Austin Riley's been hitting fourth a lot. He's been really, really good for the Braves over the last 30, 45 games. I think one thing is his contract extension. The Braves have not opened up those discussions. Freddie has said he doesn't want the distraction. He is a pending free agent. Whether that's affecting his play at the plate, I don't know. Freddie has two new baby sons at home, so obviously with another older son, for Freddie Freeman, his time at home, this is an adjustment for him. There's a big target on his back. He's the former MVP. I don't know that he's necessarily being pitched differently because the results, while they aren't there as far as the raw numbers suggest, if you look at the StatCast metrics, he's got one of the highest hard hit ball rates in baseball. They just haven't fallen for him. And I think as a human being, you look at that and you say, this is going to wear on a guy. And I think it has worn on him. I'm not seeing until recently the same kind of joy, the smile, the happiness that Freddie Freeman has always played during his big league career. We see flashes of it. It's starting to come around a little bit more. He's riding a really good streak here over the last week. He's hit a couple of homers, or three or four homers in the last week for Atlanta. So somebody's going to pay because Freddie Freeman's too good a player to be hitting, as you said, in the 230s. And when he gets going and gets going, he's going to have a stretch where he carries the club, and we really need that offensively from him.
Chip, I think over the last 3 weeks, the only thing we've talked about really here in St. Louis is the Cardinals' need for starting pitching and where they can find it on the market. Has that been the talk in Atlanta at all? Is there any talk already about what their trade deadline plans could be?
Not really, because Alex Anthopoulos keeps everything close to the vest. I think he secretly works for the NSA as well as sidelining as a general manager. Whereas we find out stuff pretty much the same time the rest of the media does, which is fine. That's his MO. It always has been. I think the thinking for the Braves was they were going to go into this season with a terrific starting rotation. You figure you have Max Fried, who was 7-0 last year. Mike Soroka would come back from his Achilles. He's had a setback, but we may see him in August. Ian Anderson, who had a brilliant postseason run for Atlanta. You signed Charlie Morton. And then you have Bryce Wilson, Kyle Wright, Waskar Ynoa, and then the Braves spent $11 million to bring in Drew Smyly. To be honest, looking at things objectively, both Morton and Smyly, for this team, that's a $26 million hit for those two guys, and they've been okay. They haven't been great. They haven't been terrible. They've been just okay. And the money that was spent in the rotation for Atlanta was then taken away from the Braves' bullpen. Mark Melancon was more interested in pitching on the West Coast. The Braves' relief corps was terrific. They didn't lose a game last year when they led after seven. I think they've lost six of those games this year. High ERAs in the bullpen because of ineffectiveness and inconsistency. So to answer your question in a long-winded way, I don't think starting pitching is the issue for Atlanta. They've got to find some more consistency in the bullpen, and they've got to find maybe two bats, if not three bats, to get back to where they were. Remember, we had the DH last year, and Ozuna was the DH for the Braves, who had one of the highest octane offenses in Major League Baseball, finished second to the Dodgers in homers and runs last year. That's not been the case so far in 2021.
You know, Chip, and Chip Carey is our guest. He is the voice of the Braves. I was peeking up at MLB Network. Did you guys have dogs in the booth last night?
We did. We did.
Isn't that fantastic?
It's called Community Heroes Week.
Uh-huh.
And one of the honorees was a lady from a place called Wonder Dogs in downtown Atlanta. And they pair up homeless pets with kids who are, you know, under really dire economic and stressful family situations. And they teach the kids responsibility and they care for the pets. It's the first time in baseball history that I actually gave a dog fleas last night.
Is that right?
a wonderful seminal moment for our audience.
Well, you got the best hair in the business, and I'm not sure if it jumped from your hair to the dog.
Pretty good chance. The poor dog was actually named Chip. We had to name the dog Chip. His legs. Poor thing's going to be doomed for the rest of his life.
I love it. One of the things I'm looking forward to, and I say this all the time, and BK hears me ranting and raving about it. We talk about the great young players in the sport, and everybody says Fernando, and believe me, they all deserve the title of maybe the best young player in the sport. Juan Soto, you see him in the East, or you got Fernando Tatis Jr. I love watching Bryce Harper. I love Ronald Acuna Jr. I think this guy is just an unbelievable player that doesn't get the attention of the others. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, he's really dynamic. I'll say this with a caveat. Look, ironically enough, the Braves have not seen Fernando Tatis play against them in any meaningful stretches. He was hurt the last time the Braves were supposed to play the Padres, and Acuna was hurt too, which was a real shame in 2019, I believe that was. But Ronald can do everything. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's got a Dave Parker arm and right. He loves hitting leadoff. He wants to ambush early in the game. I think he has 22 career leadoff homers. He has 9 first pitch homers this year. He's just a dynamic player who could be the first 40-40, if not 50-50 guy in Major League history. I don't know if he'll get there this year. He got off to an unbelievably blistering start in the first weeks, then pulled a lower abdominal muscle against the Cubs in Chicago and has been hitting in the mid-250s ever since then. But, you know, for an opposing pitcher, Danny Mac, it's red alert, 2-strike count the minute he steps into the batter's box. And he plays with such unbridled joy and happiness. And I think that's something we all love about these young players. Look, do they make mistakes on the base paths? Yeah, Acuna made one last night, ran into a second out with Freddie Freeman on deck, potentially being the game-tying run. But the things he does, the joy with which he plays, the obvious physical talents he has, and knowing that he'll be in Atlanta for a long time is really, really lucky to see on a daily basis. It's going to be great to see where his career ends up, and I couldn't agree more. There are so many great players in the game right now. We are enjoying a renaissance, as it were.
Other than Acuna, who's your favorite young player to watch right now, Chip?
My other favorite young player, well, I guess Ohtani would qualify as a young player, although I haven't seen him in person. I love watching Chris Bryant. He's been around a long time, and I'm really looking forward to seeing your guy, Tommy Edman. Great hitter. I know he's playing out of position for the Cardinals because of the injuries and the, you know, the flux in your lineup, but I really like guys that have, to use the nerdery term, bat-to-ball skills. Home runs are sexy. Home runs are great. All that stuff. But I like watching ball players play. And watching Edmund and watching the highlights, the great highlights that Danny provides for the Bally Sports Midwest crew. Guys like that, I hope we'll see more of in the game because, as we know, that's what's so spectacular about our sport. No matter how big or tall you are, skinny or fat you are, strong or weak you are, if you can put the ball in play, there's a place for you in Major League Baseball. And Edmund's not big in stature, but he comes up with big numbers. And guys like that are becoming, sadly, rarer and rarer in the game. So I'll relish watching him over the next 4 days.
Well, we hope he's – he has been out of the lineup with a trunk issue.
Oh.
So
they say there's nothing to worry about, though, Chip. Yeah. So I'm sure we'll see him tonight. I'm sure there's going to be no issues whatsoever.
Yes, we hope he's in there.
I didn't know he was an elephant.
Well, yeah, he goes to rehab and they feed him peanuts. So the other thing I said that Brian Jordan was on our morning show. And I said, you know, people in Atlanta probably understand this or would have a better idea about this maybe than anybody else. When you're watching Glavine and Maddux and Smoltz and guys that could absolutely do anything they wanted with the baseball, now we got the sticky substance going on with the game where now pitchers may have to, you know what, actually say, hey, I'm going to sacrifice velocity for location. What a thought. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys saw that every single day, and it was unbelievable. I used to love going down to Atlanta and doing those games and seeing those guys pitch because they were pitching. We see it now every fifth day with Adam Wainwright. You watch a guy that's pitching. How do you think this is going to be? And I know you love the game of baseball and you've been around it forever. How do you think this is going to affect the game starting on the 21st?
A lot. I think we're already seeing the effects of it. Look, everybody's to blame in a certain way. This may take a while to get to, but first of all, where I do side with the players is this. Look, we can put a rover on Mars, but we can't come up with a baseball that's got a tacky enough surface to use so that pitchers don't have to use illegal substances. I mean, come on. Use one in Japan. Why can't we use that material for our baseball? Look, I know Major League Baseball bought Rawlings. I'm not a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist guy. I don't buy into all that stuff. Maybe I should. But this shouldn't be this hard to figure out that part of it. That's number one. Number two, there was a gentleman's agreement that the sunscreen and rosin mixture to give the players some more tack. I think everybody wink, wink, nod, nod, said that's okay. But look, these guys are competitors, and they went and found an edge, and they searched for and found things that went beyond that gentleman's agreement. The owners didn't do that. The teams didn't do that. The players did that. And this is like kindergarten. You know, when the teacher used to say to you, and I'm sure it happened to you a lot, Dan,
yes.
Sit at your desk, be quiet. Otherwise, nobody gets to go to recess. Well, if the one kid isn't sitting in quiet, everybody pays the price. Well, that's what's happened with this, just like steroids. And so I don't have any sympathy for the players who didn't control their own brethren. If this was such a big issue, they should have spoken up and stopped it from their end, and we wouldn't have had this problem. And lastly, I don't really have a whole lot of sympathy for the pitchers who say, well, we can't pitch as well without this. They made a conscious decision to flout the rules. They cheated. And in a way, this is kind of like the steroids situation. They all made a choice. They could have tried to do it and learned how to pitch, to your point, without these substances. Now they're having to do it at this level, albeit with a very slippery baseball. But as one of my colleagues has said, try pitching in Colorado in June or July when it's dry and there's no humidity. The ball feels the same there for every pitch you throw, no matter the temperature. So everybody's got a lot to blame. But I don't really have a whole lot of sympathy for the pitchers who are saying, well, we had a gentleman's agreement, we broke it, now we need you to help us cheat better. That doesn't seem to fly with me. And I think, as you said, Dan, we're going to see a big effect of that if we haven't seen it already.
Chip, you're the best. You know I love listening to you. I think you're one of the great ones in the game. And there has been a carry in a broadcast booth for how many years now? 70?
My granddad started in St. Louis in 1945, and I'm still working, God bless America. And my twin sons, Stefan and Christopher, are doing games in the Cape League for Kituit. So they're going to be fourth-generation guys. And my 12-year-old, Tristan, always grabs the iPad, watches the Cardinal highlights, and does maybe the best Annie Mac impression ever. So we're tougher to kill than COVID, man. Hopefully we'll be around for another 75 years.
It's unbelievable.
Next time we get you on, we've got to get your son's impression of Danny Mac. We have to do
okay,
that.
Okay, we'll do that, BK. We'll do it. BK, by the way, I don't know how you do it, really. You deserve a raise. You're remarkable.
Hey, I'll send that to the bosses. I appreciate you saying that.
All right, guys. We'll see you tonight.
What the hell, Chip?
Well, you know I love you, Danny. You know, this is, by the way, a huge series. As you know, Dan, it's our town versus your town and a very important stretch of games for the Braves. We've got the Cardinals, we've got the Mets, and then we head to Cincinnati for a big four-game series. So we got to get our act together. Hopefully we'll get it started tonight.
You need to get your act together. That's what you need to do.
First for everything, buddy.
All right, bud. Thank you.
See you tonight.
See ya. That's Chip Carey, the voice of the Atlanta Braves.
Dan, you know what I wish? I wish so desperately. So I'm going to speak for you. You don't have to even acknowledge this. You should be down in Atlanta tonight. And what should have just happened here is it should have been you on the road from a remote access unit, which is the way that we would do this if Dan was able to still go on the road. And he should have been in a room with Chip Carey. And I could have just been a fly on the wall, just listening to the conversation, because I hope people could hear it through that interview. You guys are the best of friends.
Yes.
And being able to listen to those conversations and just hearing the two of you going back and forth is tremendous.
He's one of my best friends in the world. And so when they're not playing, so Chip lives in Florida, but he is doing obviously the Atlanta Braves. And so with COVID and everything going on, he's like, and he, by the way, he grew up in St. Louis. So people don't know this. He grew up in St. Louis and grew up a massive Cardinals fan.
Do you know where he went to high school? I know that's a follow-up question I'm supposed to ask.
He went to Parkway.
Okay.
So, yeah, he went to Parkway and then got into broadcasting and was doing the Cubs, and his dad was doing the Braves. And so there's a famous picture of Harry and his dad, Skip, and then Chip, and they're all there at Wrigley Field. And the idea was that they were going to have Chip work with Harry.
Yep.
Harry passed away. Chip gets, you know, does the games with Steve Stone. But then he went down to Atlanta to join his father. And so his dad was always traveling, doing basketball and all this. And so it was kind of a great way for them to connect again in the latter stages of his life. And so he's there. But then to the point of watching our games, he watches all the time. And his son watches all the time. And his son does imitate me all the time in a St. Louis accent. It's hilarious. So it's great. And I said, I can't believe that you're actually going to get your kids in this business. He's like, I tried to tell them not to do it. So they're going to the Cape Cod League to go do baseball, which is really
cool. Tremendous.
It is really cool.
This is the Danny Mac Show with BK, the podcast powered by I Promise.
That means it's time for me to talk. Wake me up, Tanner. BK looking at me like, Dan, get with it. All right, I'm with it. I thought Chip had a great explanation of the sticky ball fiasco going on right now in baseball. I've been thinking more and more about it, BK, and we're going to hear from Garrett Cole here in just a moment. But, you know, a lot of people have said to me, you know, why'd they do this in the middle of the season? And my answer would be, it's gotten so bad that they had to. If this wasn't as bad as how bad the product had gotten in terms of just the complete dominance of pitchers and a lack of offense, which means a lack of entertainment at times, then this would have been addressed going into the CBA and it would have been another topic on the table. But it was so bad in studying it, and it was, you know, clear as day with spin rates, because you could look at it and find out they had to do something. That's why they did it right now. It got that bad.
I think this is on baseball for not finding out about this earlier. Like, they should have been doing the investigating part that we saw the first 2 months of the season
a while ago. I think they knew, but I don't think they realized it was going to go to this level.
And they should have known. And so the part of that is on baseball. They should have found out, right?
Or maybe the reason is they, to your point, maybe they did know and we got hit with COVID and we only had 60 games.
That's fair. Maybe that's part of it. Whatever the explanation is, should have been found out prior to the first 2 months of the 2021 season. And that would have eliminated this issue. However, that's a sunk cost at this point, right? Like, they messed up then, and so now you got to find out what's going on in your sport. They find out over the first couple of months. It's awful. They find out that, oh my God, all of these guys are out here skirting the rules, cheating, however you want to look at it. We have to do something, and it has to be done now. Not only because all of these guys are doing this, but also because for the entertainment value of our sport, we have to increase the offense. And the best way to do that right now is by changing these rules, and really not even changing the rules, just enforcing the rules that are already on the books.
Great point. Just enforce it. It's been on the books. All right, Garrett Cole, he's been asked about this time and again here in the last 10, 14 days. Here's his most recent comments.
I just can't. It's so hard to grip the ball. For Pete's sake, it's part of the reason why almost every player on the field has something, regardless if they're a pitcher or not, to help them control the ball. We've been living in a gray area for so long. I would just hate to see players get hurt. I would hate to see balls start flying at people's heads. I had a really tough time gripping the baseball tonight, especially early when it was windy.
God, he makes it really easy to dislike him.
Is he crying? I'm sorry. Was he crying in that thing? There's no crying in baseball. What in the world?
By the way, he had a great night last night. 8 innings, 2 earned runs allowed, both on home runs. Had a pretty decent game against a Toronto Blue Jays lineup that's pretty darn good in its own right.
Yeah, that's
fine.
For
Pete's sake, it's...
What?
For Pete's sake.
Are you kidding me with that?
He's had a tough time with this, Dan.
Wow.
He's had a tough time.
It's hard losing your spider tack. Oh, that's
kind of funny.
Sorry,
Tanner's kind of funny. It's hard losing your spider tack. Get a baseball and throw it. Deal with the consequences of having a baseball. I mean, that is, wow. Wow.
For Pete's sake.
It's Garrett Cole for you.
He sounded like he was in tears.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very emotional about it.
Well, yeah, he lost all ability to throw a baseball, apparently.
And then he went out and shoved for 8 innings against a really good lineup. Mm-hmm. By the way, the Blue Jays, their farm system is really good. And George Springer's done nothing for them this year, and they're still, that lineup is loaded. They should be awesome this year. And I think they will be before the end of the year. Man, oh man, that's hard to listen to. You know, adapt. You've been using this stuff, and adapt, you know, for Pete's sake. Right?
I'm having a tough time with this whole story because I do see the perspective of, baseball was not trying to police any of this stuff. And so if you're a player that was using it, you shouldn't have been. It's against the rules, whatever. Like, we can all agree on that portion of it. But if what I'm reading is true, that it changes your arm slot whenever you're using this, and now not being able to use it, it could potentially cause some injuries because of the wear and tear that goes on your arm, whatever. I do feel for pitchers having to adjust to this. I do. But also figure it out.
Right. Like, I'm that's my point. Just figure it out.
Eventually, like, Gerrit Cole, you threw eight innings, allowed two earned runs against a very good lineup last night. What are we talking about here? What's going on? You know, you were fine. Maybe you didn't feel fine, but your results were perfectly fine, and now you're going to keep moving forward. So I'm done with him.
Wow.
For Pete's sake.
So the Cardinals are in Atlanta tonight. All right, John Gant. 5+? You feel good about that?
You should.
I agree. I actually think John Gant's going to go out and pitch well. I do. Coming off a couple of bad starts, I also think there's momentum coming off the what you just had with the three games and feeding off the other starters. There is something to that. Yeah, I like it. Going against his former team that traded him, that's something that's always in there too, whether players want to admit it or not. There's something to it. I'm going 5, at least 5.
And
let's
I think
do
the,
that.
The Cardinals should be able to get to Charlie Morton a little bit. He has not been
absolutely
the same guy so far this season, and he's somebody that they should be able to get after a little bit. Dan, we mentioned this earlier, and I think it's true. These are mirror images of one another. The biggest difference and the reason why the Cardinals have a slightly better record right now is because of the bullpens. The Cardinals' bullpen has three guys that they can trust. The Braves seemingly have nobody right now that they can trust coming
nobody
out of the pen. Their rotation's been okay, slightly below average. Their offense has kind of been meandering. You got Ronald Acuna, who's been tremendous, and then a lot of guys that are kind of underperforming relative to expectations. So in total, they're basically the same team. And so, Dan, the Cardinals, in my mind, just need to get at least 2 in this series. They got off to a great start in this 20-game stretch. Now you got to be able to at least split this series against Atlanta.
So here's how they are mirror images. I mean, we keep saying it, and fans are going, well, how? Okay, 5-9, both teams. That's their record since June. Both teams, all-star caliber first basemen that are playing at a level that isn't quite what we are accustomed to seeing. Goldie hitting .248, Freeman .242, Goldie 9 home runs, Freeman 16. They're both right around 40 runs batted in. Both teams have had struggles with their rotations. Braves starters 17th in baseball in ERA. Cardinals starters, their ERA 18th. Cardinals bullpen, the pen ERA is 20th. The Braves pen 26th. I mean, these are two teams that had really high expectations going into the season. And you think about the Braves, they were up 3-1 on the Dodgers last year to go to the World Series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it has been a little bit surprising with that. Let's see. Oh, by the way, John Gant did cut his hair, I think.
Really?
I think so. I thought I saw a shot of him with all the hair cut off.
Completely?
Think so.
Like my hair?
Yes.
Wow.
Am I right with that, Tanner?
I'm about to find out.
I think I saw that.
I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse about it, but that's interesting.
Well, maybe it helps.
Dan, what do you make of the second tier in the National League right now? Because I think there's a clear-cut top tier in the NL with the Giants, who are not slowing down in any way. And at some point, we just got to say they're the best team in the National League, at least them and the Dodgers. Those are the two teams right now that stand out above the rest.
Hey, the Padres have dropped like 13 of 16.
I said this the other day on our show with Ferrario and Tanner. I'm not considering them in that same class right now. They can get there with the Dodgers and the Giants. They have not been as good as those teams so far this year. Their offense has been atrocious. They're historically bad with runners in scoring position over the last month or so. So then you throw the Padres, Brewers, Cubs, Reds, Mets, Phillies, Braves, all of those teams basically into that second tier in the National League. I have no idea who's the best of that bunch right now.
I would say if DeGrom is out and he had to leave with a shoulder issue last night in his game at Citi Field, that is a massive difference maker for the Mets. Then they drop, I think.
Yep.
But they've been great at home. They're the best team home record-wise in the National League. But you don't have Jacob DeGrom. You've already lost Syndergaard. They're not sure when they're going to get him back. That's a massive loss for them. And when he misses time, I mean, it's kind of like Cardinals right now with Flaherty. If you get into a losing skid, it stops if you get that guy back out there. That's what can get you over the hump. And if you're a middle-tier team and you're going up against the Giants or You're going up against the Dodgers, and you have Jacob deGrom. I'm going Jacob deGrom and the Mets to win that game. That's the kind of thing that that does for your team. I still like the Cubs, man, even though the Cubs, I mean, look at what's just happened in the Central. Cubs and Brewers, three straight. Cardinals are only three games out at the start of play.
Yep.
This could be up and down all season long, and maybe where it gets separated is one with health, with DeGrom, Cardinals getting healthy with Flaherty and others, and two, what you do at the trade deadline.
That's what I was going to say. I think this is a deadline deal that ends up coming up. Whoever wins the deadline in some ways could win this grouping of the second tier in the National League.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the Danny Mac Show with BK, the podcast powered by I Promise. You've been listening to the Danny Mac Show with BK, the podcast powered by I Promise.